As we were singing a verse from Exodus that says, you just need to stand still, the Lord will fight for you. In the storms of life, we just need to stand still, for the Lord will fight for you. If you've ever travelled in and around London, you've probably at some point got the tube. And if you've got the tube, you'll be familiar with these three words. Mind the gap. Mind the gap. And the reality is life is full of gaps. The divide between the rich and the poor, the old and the young, the east and the west, the north and the south. Our lives are filled with gaps. But the reality is most of us are fairly comfortable to live within the gaps. We're not too rich, we're not too poor. We're not too young, we're not too old, mostly. And as Christians, we live in the gap between heaven and earth. We live in the gap between the kingdom here and now on earth and the kingdom of God, which is to come. We live in the gap where we can experience the miracles of God here today, but we also live in the gap where the miracles don't come through and it seems as if the prayer hasn't been answered. How can that be? Well, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died upon the cross, he took upon himself all the sin and shame and sickness and mess of our lives. He spent 3 days separated from his Father. He received the punishment that we should have received for the mess of our lives. 3 days later, God raises him to life again, and he destroys sin and death and sickness and shame and the mess of our lives. Jesus is victorious, and we stand in that victory of Christ. Yet we still experience sin and sickness and death and shame and mess in our lives today. We live in the kingdom now, the victorious reign of Jesus. Yet we also live expecting the kingdom of God still to come. That God's kingdom is here. It was established when Jesus rose again. It was beginning. Jesus is building his church. The kingdom is growing here on earth, but we still don't live in the fulfillment of all of that. There's a gap between earth and heaven. And as Christians, we are not called to comfortably be in the gap. Yet we are called to stand in the gap between heaven and earth and pray. We are called to pray, God, would you build your kingdom here on the earth? We're called to pray that God's kingdom and rule and reign would appear here on the earth today, in our communities, in our lives, in the lives of those around us. And as God calls us, his people, to pray, he is building his kingdom. The incredible thing is that God chooses to use us to do that. God is calling us, as he has for thousands of years, his followers, to stand in the gap and pray the kingdom of God's rule and reign here on the earth. He's calling us to be people that see things and we are discontent with them. Not because we're just moaning, but discontent because it's not God's heart. And to pray that God would intervene and God would move and God would change that situation. God is calling us to pray the kingdom here on earth. And in the Lord's Prayer, in them, Luke chapter 11, the disciples, they've seen Jesus do great miracles. The disciples themselves have been sent out and perform great miracles. Yet they keep seeing Jesus go up on a mountain to pray. And they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus teaches them the pattern of prayer that we know is the Lord's Prayer. And one of those lines is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a mind the gap prayer. It's a standing in the gap between heaven and earth prayer. To say we recognize that we live here in this earth, but we're praying that the kingdom of God's rule and reign would come. That we are citizens of earth, yet we are also citizens of heaven. And as we're beginning 2020, we're in a year of prayer as a church. And our first 2 months on Sunday mornings, we're exploring different forms of prayer. And this week, we're looking at intercession. The problem with intercession is, depending on your church background, intercession has particular connotations. If you're from a particular church background, when you hear the word intercession, that means it's a part of the service where people pray for the church and the world and the community and the Queen. And after each bit, there's some words that are said and a response is given. When we think of intercessions, we think, Lord, in your mercy. Welcome to the Anglicans and Methodists who are joining us today. God bless you. Last week we looked at petition. If petition is asking God for things, and Myra brilliantly shared last week, you know, we ask God for things and God always answers our prayer. And sometimes it's like a traffic light, it's green. The answer is yes, go. Sometimes it's amber. We need to wait, not yet, or we need to pray differently. Or sometimes it's red, it's no. And we have to be prepared for that. And at its most basic form, if petition is asking God for stuff for ourselves, intercession is praying on behalf of others. Intercession is standing in the gap between others and God. The prayer of intercession is like a mediator who stands between two parties and calls the two to come closer together. It's a prayer that isn't just me, but it's me to we to thee. Richard Foster, in his book on prayer, writes, intercession is selfless prayer, even self-giving prayer. In the ongoing work of the kingdom of God, nothing is more important than intercessory prayer. But before we can begin to unpack what intercessory prayer might be, surely the big question is, does intercessory prayer actually work? Can we really pray on behalf of others? If we have our own owned personal faith, can we really pray on behalf of others? And can that really make a difference? And I want to say the answer is yes. And I'm going to give us two stories as to why that may be. In May 1940, the Nazi troops had trapped the Allied forces with their backs to the sea at Dunkirk. It was looking like it was going to be an incredible defeat for the Allied forces, and the Nazi troops were advancing with great force. And so George VI, the king at the time, he took to the airways in Britain and he called for a national day of prayer to take place on Sunday, the 26th of May. As we know from the story, Churchill sent out many, many boats, many civilian ships across the English Channel. The weather was absolutely awful. And Churchill's strategy was to try and save 30,000 men from those beaches, 10% of those who would be there. On Sunday, the 26th of May, there was a day of national prayer. 3 days later, an incredible calm came over the English Channel. The Luftwaffe had been grounded because they weren't able to fly in the storms that were so bad in the days before that. And on the 29th of May, 338,000 men were rescued from Dunkirk. Does God hear our prayer? He certainly does. That's known as the miracle of Dunkirk. Historians today are still baffled at why the Germans stopped where they stopped. Another story. 2001, a guy called Carter Conlon, who's the pastor of Times Square Church in New York, was driving back to New York City where he felt God impress on his heart that he needed to call the church to pray. And as he shared it on a Sunday morning, a silence fell in their church auditorium. It happened week after week, silence. People couldn't move. People couldn't speak. People were overawed with the presence of God. And the only thing was silent prayer in the hearts of the people. In July of 2001, they decided that this was so important that they needed to cancel every church activity that they do, every missional activity, every program, every guest speaker that was due to come. They canceled everything to call the church to focus on one thing, prayer. They had Sunday services and prayer meetings, that's all they had. And in July of 2001, they sensed that God was calling them to pray specifically to New York City, to lift the city before God. In the 2 months following that, as they prayed, they felt that God was saying to them that New York City was going to go through a time of real challenge and real difficulty, and that they as a church were to be the hope bringers, that they as the church were to serve in practical ways when help was needed in the city. Little did they know as they prayed that on the 11th of September, two aeroplanes would fly into the Twin Towers on the doorstep of their own church. On that day, members of their congregation gathered peacefully and quietly, and in the calm, they served the emergency services. They served the people who were covered in ash who walked into their building. And as their Sunday services became more and more packed with people filled with fear, they were prepared to give a message of hope. Why? Because they interceded for their city. Does God hear our prayers? Yes, he does. Intercession is about seeing a gap. And it's about asking God, what is your heart? If petition prayer is saying, Father, would you change the situation? And this is what we'd like to see. Would you heal this person? Would you provide in this situation? The prayer of intercession is, Lord, would your kingdom come in this situation? Lord, would you show us what you want to do? And then when we hear what God says, we pray the thing that he asks us to pray. Intercession is about pleading on behalf of others for the sake of God's kingdom. They're two incredible stories. And we could say, well, is that just coincidence? There was a former archbishop called William Temple, and he was once confronted with this very question. When you pray and there's answers, surely that's just coincidence. And Archbishop William Temple replied, yes, when I pray, coincidences happen. But when I stop praying, the coincidences stop happening. We're going to look at intercession in three ways this morning. The first one is this, and we're going to jump around different bits of the Bible rather than being rooted in one passage today. I apologize for that. Intercession is a prayer of love. If you could join me, please, in Exodus chapter 32, if you have a Bible with you today. Exodus chapter 32. Moses has been up on the mountain. Moses has been with the Lord. He has received the Ten Commandments written, scribed by the hand of God in tablets of stone. And he's been receiving the laws of God for the people. The people were too afraid to go up the mountain to hear from God themselves. So Moses goes up. And in the meantime, the Israelites, they were like, who's this guy Moses? Has he forgotten us? He disappeared. We thought he was our leader, and we've not seen him for a while. And what's more, who is this God that kind of led us through the sea? We've forgotten about this God, and we've forgotten about this Moses guy. He's disappeared. He's probably forgotten about us. And so Aaron the priest comes up with an idea. He should have known better, but he said, why don't you all give me one of your golden earrings? And we'll make them together into a big golden calf, and we'll worship the calf, and the calf will be our God. The calf will be the one that brought us through the sea. Moses comes down a mountain, and he sees the golden calf, and Moses is fuming. And the next day is where we pick up. This is Exodus chapter 32, verse 30. The next day, Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. That's a prayer of intercession, of pleading on behalf of one party before God. This is an incredible prayer. How do we know that intercession is a prayer of love? Because with all due respect, if I was Moses, my prayer might have been a bit more like this. These people are really frustrating. They've made a golden calf. They've not listened. They've forgotten everything. Do you know what? It would be easier if it was just you and I. Why don't I just go to the promised land? You could be with me. We can eat grapes together in the promised land. These people, they're hard work. Is that what Moses prayed? No. Moses prayed, Lord, if you're not going to forgive their sin, then do you know what? Wipe me out as well. Why? Because Moses' prayer of intercession came from a heart of love for God's people. How do we know that Moses loved the Israelites? When we look at the story of Moses' life, an Israelite but brought up as an Egyptian prince in the palace, he saw how his own people were oppressed and badly treated. He knew that God must have put him there for some purpose. And so one day when Moses sees an Egyptian badly treating an Israelite, he goes and he kills the man. The next day, there's two Israelites arguing, and Moses says, come on, you guys are brothers. We shouldn't be arguing. We need to stick together. And they say, we saw what you did to that man yesterday. We don't want anything to do with you. And Moses has to flee. Moses thinks he can lead the people in his own strength, but they're not interested. And Moses spends the next 40 years looking after sheep on the hillside. Do I really believe God was doing three things in Moses' life in those 40 years? I think the first thing God was doing is he was teaching him how to look after a people that would be difficult to maneuver. We know that because Moses was tending sheep. The second thing I think God was doing in Moses' life, Moses was having to learn what it means to really trust in God. No longer was he a prince in the palace with everything he needed at his beck and call. Moses was living in the wilderness, having to trust entirely on God. I think the third thing that God was teaching Moses was to fall in love with his own people. I think in those 40 years, Moses' heart was breaking for his people. Moses was so zealous. He wanted to save his people. He had seen the oppression, but in those 40 years, can you imagine the worry? Those of you who are parents of grown-up children, you know when your children come home late and you're like, where are they? Can you imagine what Moses would have been like for those 40 years? Is the oppression still taking place? What's happening to my people? Is God with them? Have they remembered God? I think it was out of the heart of love that Moses was able to intercede for the people of God. And if we truly love people, we will intercede for them. If we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than what we can offer in our earthly selves. We will desire people's problems to be fixed, not that we can fix them, but because we know that God can fix them. We will desire the unloved to find love, not through our own love, but through the love that was only found in Jesus Christ. If we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than what we are capable of doing within our own power. And so we will present them before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because it is God's will for individuals and families to be in relationship with him. We can't make that happen. Only God can. It is God's will for people who are hooked on addictions to be set free from them. It is God's will that broken marriages are healed. It is God's will to deliver people from racism and sexism and nationalism and individualism and consumerism. It is God's will that we would walk in the freedom that only Jesus Christ brings. It's a picture of the kingdom coming here on earth. But it will only happen if we, his people, will stand in the gap and pray. Maybe though you find it hard to pray for others. Maybe you find some of those passages hard in scripture. You know the passages that say, pray for those in power. Maybe you think, I'm not a big fan of our government right now. Or maybe you are. Maybe you think, I'm not sure about this regime, or I don't know about this situation, or I don't particularly want to pray for this. Maybe you find it hard to pray for others. And if you're someone who finds it hard to pray for others, you need to ask God to give you a love for people. And I want to tell you from experience that if that's a prayer that you genuinely pray, it'll be a prayer that hurts. It'll be a prayer that results in many tears. It'll be a prayer that results in late nights and early mornings. When God puts people on your heart, you'll be moved to pray for them. If you find it hard to pray for others, ask God to break your heart for people. But don't pray that prayer lightly. True intercession comes from a heart moved by God's love for his people. It comes from a heart of love through seeing people through the eyes as God sees them. Seeing people with the heart as God loves people. John chapter 15 verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for their friends. The prayer of intercession is about laying down our own desires, our own prayers, our own desired outcomes for a situation, and asking God for his outcome in a situation. Even when we're not sure we want to pray the prayer, even when we're not sure if we will like the outcome, even if we're not sure we really like the person or the situation that we're praying for, even when we don't want to pray, it's the prayer that says, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done is greater than my kingdom come and my will be done. It's not a simple prayer for now. It's not a bless this person, heal this person. The prayer of intercession is a self-giving prayer, a selfless prayer. It's a costly prayer. It's a prayer that is first seeking God and then praying what God's heart is for a situation or a person or a people. And intercession is also the prayer of persistence. If you're taking notes, intercession point one is the prayer of love. Secondly, intercession is the prayer of persistence. As you know, we have two small children, which means we spend a lot of our time juggling who's looking after them and taking them to various places and all that kind of things around work and other commitments. And we're really blessed that on a Tuesday, my in-laws come every Tuesday, and they do the school run, they pick up from nursery and school and all those kind of things until I get back at about 5 o'clock. And we're so blessed by that. And if there's one thing that grandparents are great at lots of things. If there's one thing that grandparents are great at, it's in the department of food, isn't it? And so I know that on the days when our children are picked up from school and nursery, respectfully, that they are given snacks to eat all the way home. I know that they're made sandwiches when they get home, that they can sit in front of the telly and eat together. And I love that. And then the minute the door closes at 5:01, my kids are like this. Can I have some crisps? Can I have some chocolate? Can I have some biscuits? Can I have a yogurt? Can I have an apple? Can I have a banana? Can I have something to eat? I'm starving. We've not eaten for ages. Please, we have something to eat. And my answer is always the same. No, your dinner will be ready soon. I have a confession to make. I cracked a few weeks ago. I said, just get some crisps. Make sure you eat your tea. And don't tell your mum. Mark's going to edit that little bit off the recording. But for the last 2 weeks, the minute I've walked through the door, our kids have been like, can we have our crisps now? Intercession is the prayer of persistence. In Luke chapter 18 from verse 1, Jesus tells this parable. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice and that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What Jesus was saying through this parable is this, that even though we as human beings are a bit like that judge, a bit like me with the children when they're pestering about food, you know, at some point we get to the point where we're like, do you know what, just be quiet and have what you want. God is saying, you know, if we as people are like that in our sinful nature, the God who loves us, the God who is for us, the God who knows the end from the beginning, how much more will he hear our prayer? And that when we're persistent in prayer, he will answer in his way at just the right time. How much more will the God who loves us, when we continue to go into his presence, meet with us, his people? Too often with prayer, we don't persist. We give up too easily because we haven't found the answer that we want. In our dining room, we have an uplighter, and it has kind of two lights on it, and it's got energy-saving bulbs in it, and it takes ages to switch on. I say ages. It takes about 3 seconds from when you press the button on the floor to the lights pinging on, and that's not very long in the grand scheme of things, but when you're used to switching a light switch and the lights come on instantly, it feels like a long time. So sometimes you'll press the little button on the floor and the lights don't come on. So you press it again thinking you've not pressed it, but that switched it off again, so it's still off. So you press it again, and in the end, you're just going to put the big light on. When we give up in prayer, it will be a bit like me with that light, pressing the button and the light not coming on and me going, well, I never believed in the power of electricity anyway. When we give up in prayer, it's like we're saying we didn't really believe God cared anyway. Persist in prayer. Do you believe in the power of God? In a few weeks' time, we're going to talk about unanswered prayer. God always hears our prayers, but sometimes they seem to be answered differently to how we wanted, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks' time. God always hears our prayer. I mentioned before we had the privilege of gathering in here yesterday with many people to pray and intercede for this nation and this region, particularly that God would move, that those who don't know him would come to know him. And as we were praying, God gave me a real clear picture, and it was a picture of a pot plant, rather like the ones in our house, that hadn't been watered for a long time. And the plant looked alive, but really it was dead because it had no water. And the soil was so dry that there were cracks through the soil. And someone watered it, but the water sat on the surface of the soil and then ran off down the sides of the pot because the soil was too hard. But then someone slowly came and poured little bits of water at a time. And as the small bits of water came, they began to gradually soften the surface so that the water could seep down to the roots and give light to the plant. The intercession prayer is the prayer of persistence that slowly softens the ground. We pray together with others because when we do that, it's like more droplets of water falling on the hardened soil. It's like sticks in a fire. The more sticks we put in, the more the fire will rage. Persist in prayer. Pete Gregg from 24/7 Prayer suggests four ways that we can continue to persist in intercessory prayer. He says the first thing is get informed. Get informed. Find out more about the situation. Ask the person some questions. Do some research in the situation or the country or the issue, whatever it may be. Sign up to mailing lists. Get informed so that we can pray specifically. Sometimes we pray in too big a way. Lord, would you save this person today? And that's a great prayer to pray. But maybe a better prayer to pray would be, Lord, would you soften this person's heart today? Lord, today would you put someone on that person's path who knows you and loves you? Get informed. Secondly, get inspired. Get into the Word of God. Read God's Word and find similar situations. Find some of the verses of Scripture that speak into that situation and begin to pray the verses of Scripture into that situation. Get inspired. Third thing, get indignant. Allow God to stir something within you of a righteous anger or a holy excitement and passion about something. And pray about those things. Allow that to be a driving force in your prayer life. God has made us emotional people for a reason. And fourthly, get in sync. Get together with other people who pray and pray with them. You can do that together, or you can do that dispersed, but praying through some of the same things. The prayer of intercession is the prayer of love. The prayer of intercession is persistent. And the prayer of intercession is the prayer of priests. In Numbers chapter 12, Moses is still leading the people at this point, the people of Israel. And Aaron and Miriam, Aaron being Moses' brother, and they start to get a bit annoyed with Moses. And they start to question his authority. And they begin to say, you know, this guy Moses, is he really the only one who can hear from God? This guy Moses, is he the only one that can lead the people? Can't we lead? Can't we do those things? Is he really the anointed person? He doesn't always do that good a job. I could do a better job myself. This guy Moses, he doesn't turn up to all the battles. He goes up on mountains and prays when the real warriors are fighting. He doesn't turn up. They begin to grumble against Moses. And the presence of God comes on Moses, Miriam, and Aaron in a cloud. And God speaks to them. And God says, no, Moses is the person that I have chosen. And if we turn to verse 12 of Numbers 10, this is where we pick up. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin that we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, please, God, heal her. Intercession is a prayer of love because Moses could quite easily have said, God's told you so. But Moses prayed. The prayer of intercession is standing in the gap between one party and God and praying that God's kingdom would come, praying for change along with the line of the heart of God. Intercession is standing in the gap and reconciling one party to another. The role of the priest is to be the people's representative before God and to be God's representative before the people. In the Old Testament, We see that because the priests would take the offerings of the people and they would make the sacrifices and the offerings before the ark of God, the presence of God in the temple. And the priests would teach the people the ways of God. But we live in New Testament times, and the New Testament says that we are a priesthood of all believers. This is key to our Baptist identity as well, that every single one of us have been called by God. Every single one of us has been appointed by God. Every single one of us has been placed in a particular location by God to be a priest, to pray for those who are around you, to lift the people before God, and to live out God's heart and God's values before the people who do not know him. You are called to be a priest in your workplace, in your community, in your family, in this area of Aintree Village. You are called to be a priest of God, to demonstrate his ways and to pray for the people before God. 10 years ago this year, Becky and I went to a Christian conference down south, and we'd stayed in a B&B. And in the morning, the first morning, the lady invited us down to breakfast, or we were down for breakfast, and the lady invited us to sit at a table, and she said, I had a great idea. There's a few of you in the B&B that are going to the conference, so why don't you all sit on the same table, and you can get to know each other? And I was like, I don't want to. And so we sat on the table with the other people, and at the time, actually, it was just us, Becky and I, and one other man. And he began to speak to us, and as he spoke to us, he was just the most gentle, godly man that you could meet. And he actually spoke prophetically into a situation in our lives that was very real right in that moment. He committed to pray for me for the 5 years when I served British Youth for Christ traveling around the country. And he did, because we met up regularly, and he would ask specific questions. And we always made a point of whenever we were nearby, he led an international ministry, he was always all over the place, but whenever we were nearby, we would meet together. And one of the places that we would often meet with him would be at Christian conferences. And a few years later, we were at Soul Survivor. We'd just had Hannah, and he was there, and he said, come and meet with me for coffee. He said, I'm doing a seminar in this particular place. Meet me in this tent afterwards, and we'll go for coffee. So we got there at the end of the seminar, and he met us there, and he said, let's go for coffee. Come with me. And we walked to the area where all the food vans are and all the tea and coffee things, and he walked right through it, and he said, follow me. And he got to this little doorway, and in the doorway was a really narrow staircase. And he walked to the top of the stairs, and we're having to carry the pram up this narrow staircase. At the top of the stairs, there's two stewards, and they let our friend in, and they look at us, and they're like, where are you going? And our friend turns and says, it's okay, they're with me. And the stewards hold the doors open, and they let us in. We sit with him, we meet with him, we're in the speaker's lounge. How many of us desire to have an audience with someone famous? You know, to be able to give them a piece of our mind or to share some thoughts with them. You know, Jesus opens the door to God the Father. We have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yet how rarely we use that open channel. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we read this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Jesus opens the door between us and the Father. Jesus is our priest. And between John 14 and John 16, three times Jesus talks about praying in his name. And when we pray in Jesus' name, amen, it's not like a magic formula that gets us the answer to the prayer. When we pray in Jesus' name, it's to go through our great high priest. It's to pray with the intent of Jesus. It's to pray through the eyes of Jesus. It's to pray with the heart of Jesus for the situation that those people or that people group or that situation may be in. When we pray in Jesus' name, he takes our broken and wordy prayers. He straightens them out before the Father. He polishes them up and he puts his stamp of approval on it. When we pray in Jesus' name, we pray with the intent of Christ. It's not just a tag on. It's seeing through his eyes. It's loving with his love. It's being indignant with what would make him indignant. We are ambassadors to Christ and we are given full authority to use his name to see the kingdom come. We know it's a priestly role, because we're invited by Jesus, the great high priest. And as we are being shaped more into the likeness of Christ, so we are called to pray for those around us. The most amazing thing is this, that Jesus, our great high priest, is sat at the right hand of the Father. And he is speaking words of love about you and about I to the Father. He is speaking words of blessing over your life to the Father. He is speaking words of forgiveness over your life to the Father. Because he loves you. And he gave himself for you. Mind the gap. There's a gap between heaven and earth. And we are called to stand in the gap and pray. The prayer of intercession is a prayer of love. If you find it hard to pray for people, I encourage you to see if you could ask God to give you a love for people. But it's a dangerous prayer. The prayer of intercession is the prayer of persistence. Don't give up. Get informed, get inspired, get indignant, and get in sync with others. And the prayer of intercession is the prayer of the priest to stand in the gap and pray. We can stand in the gap, but no one can bridge the gap. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us could bridge the gap from earth to heaven. The only one who could is Jesus. The Bible says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And Romans 8 verse 34 says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father and is also interceding for us. Let's stand together.